So we've come a long way with our discussion of Psalm 15. And I've taken extra time here to, go as deep as I think we need to go with this initially here. There's a lot, it's a lot deeper. We've still got a long ways to go with this. But we'll have plenty of other opportunities here in the Psalms here. So to summarize what we've discussed here today, when it comes to this idea of who shall abide, well, the answer is obviously Christ shall abide and Christ's followers, those who abide in Christ because of Christ's fulfillment. And the amazing thing of this is that we have access even unto the Holy of Holies now because of Christ, who he is, and his fulfillment of this and what he intends with his followers as far as his abiding presence and influence. So who shall abide? The answer is those that have sanctified and consecrated a central place in their hearts to receive his abiding presence. Who shall abide? Those who have sanctified and consecrated a place in their hearts, partitioned off from the busyness of the rest of the camp to receive his abiding presence. Who shall abide? Those who have sanctified and consecrated a place in their hearts, sprinkled with his blood for the remission of sins to receive his abiding presence. Who shall abide? Those who have sanctified and consecrated a place in their hearts, baptized of living water to receive his abiding presence. Who shall abide? Those who have sanctified and consecrated a place in their hearts, lit by the light of his truth, his divine revelation, lifted by Christ into the consecration of spiritual Israel, burning with the incense of prayer day and night, all to receive his abiding presence. Who shall abide? Those who have sanctified and consecrated a place in their hearts, in whom Christ, our high priest, has made full and eternal atonement, rent the veil into the second sanctuary, given access even to the Holy of Holies to receive his abiding presence. In Christ, these people abide as Christ abides in them. Together, they abide in thy tabernacle, and as it should be forevermore. Where then do these 11 Psalms 15 attributes, or these volumes of our encyclopedia set, come in? They come in Psalms 15 verse 5 here. They're pointing to who shall never be moved. Those in whom Christ's abiding presence and influence has altered their souls spiritually enough to consistently exhibit these 11 predominant characteristics or defining characteristics. Read with me Psalms 15:2. He that walketh uprightly, that's an effect of Christ's presence and his influence, and worketh righteousness, that's an effect of his presence and influence, and speaketh truth in his heart, that's an effect of his presence and influence. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. These are effects of Christ's presence and influence. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, and he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. These all are effects of Christ's abiding presence and influence in us. That's who shall not be moved. These attributes are not as easy for us to be as they first appear. There is what a Christ-altered man can do or be. There is what any other man can approximate in his flesh superficially without Christ altering. So the question today, the question right now for each and every one of us is, where am I at currently in all of this? Is there any one of us that truly desires to abide where the person of Christ abides in God's holy temple? Is there any one of us that truly desires to boldly enter even into the Holy of Holies, into his most intimate presence and influence? Remember then the pattern of Christ symbolized in this tabernacle blueprint. It explains not only who Christ is and what he obtained for us, but also who we are and how best for us to worship him. God went to great lengths to paint many full-size pictures of what we most needed to understand. And these pictures are in a language most capable for us whom he has separated or set apart to understand them in. We should take the time then to go through his gallery to get the sense and the understanding from them. We'll have plenty of opportunity, as I said, in future Psalms to describe also what is meant to dwell in his holy hill. We'll also have other opportunities to revisit this concept of tabernacle. But I would highly recommend for today's purposes that you take the time to read Hebrews 9 and 10 to hear what else that author believed this tabernacle picture to be saying.